Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. Man, very few hours in between the last time we were hanging out with the late game last night for the 49ers, but really excited. Shout out to the NFL. They totally botched week one of the preseason with the film, you know, getting that out there. Dude, it was up bright and early this morning. I started film breakdowns just a little after 7. And so got the first quarter done. That's up on the 49ersrush.com. That's up on our Patreon page. If you want to go watch the coach's tape, end zone, all that stuff, go sign up now. 7-day free trial. That's up. And so I even alluded to this yesterday. I've got some family in town. Again, my cousin in the Air Force is in town. So I had to get a show out kind of early this morning. Didn't get to finish breaking down the entirety of the tape, but finished the entire first quarter defense, special teams, offense, all of that. That's up. And so, man, a lot of takeaways. You watch the tape after watching the game and just it's a completely different feel, especially whenever you're talking Connor Colby, Carver Willis, all those different things, just from the starters that played in the first quarter, which a lot of them played two series, you know, the defensive starters, you're talking Osa Digizua, you got to include Deshaun Stribling in the starter category now. I love that. He played 14 plays, Luke Farrell, 13 plays, Brock Purdy, 12 plays. You go through offensive and defensive studs, D'Amador Lenore. I think that you saw a lot of what you wanted to see. I think that a lot that came across was, all right, yeah, like some of these guys are ready to go. And so we're going to be processing some of the analytical grades plus film notes, see where they agree, disagree with the starter top-end players. That's kind of the goal of today's show. As always, I have to say thank you to the Countdown crew. Let's go NH Niners in here first. What's up, David? Appreciate you guys. Yeah, say it with me, Weber. Third and Deshaun, 3 third down conversions. He only played 14 plays. 3 third down conversions, 14 plays. Should have been 4, but that's okay. What's up, Tim Ford, my man? Appreciate you guys. Glad that you guys are here. Flynn in the house. Love that. He says, I love Kalon Black. He looked great. I really want to see them throw him some passes next time. That's the question. Yeah, Kalon Black, definitely you can go back to his time at James Madison, had about 30 receptions 1 year. Most of them were just flare routes and out in the flats. There was one play where Kalon Black got split out and he ran just a quick out route. It was all right. But it's really, really hard in this offense to put a running back on the field that can't help in the passing game. Well, the receiving prowess is just one avenue in the passing game. The other one is pass protection. Dude absolutely crushed that. He was incredible. He had a 78.1 pass block grade. One elite performance stepping up against the blitz. 3 good performances. And my thing, I said this yesterday, when you're watching Kalon Black, the biggest positive is no negatives. He is a consistent winner whenever it comes to, man, should have had a tackle for loss. He gets 0 yards. Like, all right, we're talking about a 0-yard rusher with a rookie running back. What are we talking about? Well, Brandon Parker completely missed his guy. Free defensive lineman through the B gap, which is designed to run the play through. He, you know, shimmies a little bit and fights for 2 extra yards. Should have been a negative 2-yard play. There was a 3, you know, he had a 7-yard run that should have been a 3-yard run. Those are all huge. Kept Brock Purdy and Mac Jones from taking hits versus the blitz. So many positives, helping other people around you. That is what Kalon Black, Neo, brings. The chosen one, the third round running back that's finally going to pay off. Had to happen eventually, right? That is Kalon Black. Now, Deshaun Stribling, let's talk about him. Highest rated player. He had a 90.5 grade from PFF. Highest rated. Nobody else was even in the 80s. He had a 90.5, and that's with the drop touchdown pass. It wouldn't have been a touchdown. It would have been down at the 2. He got tackled, whatever else. But came in with the 86 run block grade. DeShon Stribling was my second highest rated run blocking wide receiver in this draft class. And it matters for the 49ers. No block, no route. Like that, that's just the way it goes. Now, it's funny. You see the 86 grade. I was kind of shocked by that because there were two or three negative run blocking plays for DeShon Stribling. And man, shout out to, you know, Croc. He's the best. You know, Eric Crocker with Locked On. He's a good friend of the show. He's an awesome dude. Like he put out there, like it's crazy how much people are talking about wide receivers blocking and whatever else. It's not important. He didn't say it's not important. I want to phrase it the way in which he said it because he said also the wide receiver blocking thing. It's definitely a requirement, but kind of overrated thing. Like a big hitting cornerback. As a receiver, I need you to put effort into blocking, but I pay you to catch passes and make plays. Cornerbacks, you better be able to tackle, but I pay you to cover. Agree. But whenever you're a flawed prospect, this is where Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing conversation comes in. It could keep you off the field. Kalen Black, yeah, you're a running back. Why are we talking blocking? Because that can keep you off the field. I can't put you out there if you're bringing negative plays on all the plays that we don't target. Wide receivers might get 4 to 5 targets a game, but you play 45 snaps. And half of those, 20 of those plays, of those 45 snaps, are running plays. So if you're negative for 20, only positive for the routes you run, that's an issue. And yeah, if you're a difference maker, and somebody in the, you know, commented on it, it's like, oh, imagine overlooking Justin. That's all I'm saying. If you're elite at something, you can overlook the discrepancies, the weaknesses. Kalen Black ain't that. He's a third round pick, and that was a major reach. But hey, he's passing the test now. Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, those guys, they're now. If you're an elite punt returner, Jacob Cowing, you can overlook some of those. Hard to find what Jordan Watkins is elite at. But if the consistencies and there are no negatives to your game, then it's so easy to trust you. And that's what I see in Kalen Black so far. Now, we haven't seen the receiving aspect at all through two games. He didn't play in the first game. Had some injuries, missed some time. But the fact that the pass protection steps in and is already awesome, that is huge. And so, yeah, you want complete players, and you want 11 All-Pros on offense and defense. That's never happened in the NFL. It's never going to happen. The negatives keep players from playing that are back end of the roster players. If we're talking All-Pros, yeah, we talked about this last night. But DeShon Stribling, I thought major uptick in blocking. Jordan Watkins, major uptick in blocking. Still very, very soft, but that's okay. DeShon Stribling's not soft. DeShon Stribling is freaking awesome, and I just love that he got the starting treatment. Luke Farrell, second highest rated player for the offense, had some good, had some bad. The drop pass on third down wouldn't have been a first down anyway. Had some decent blocks. And like the way Luke Farrell wins, it's so hard to play. And, you know, George Kittle even talked about how people were giving him way too hard of a time and, you know, first year in the offense, whatever else. It's just so hard to see the way George Kittle dominates the way he wins in the pass and run game. Luke Farrell's not that. He's a finesse blocker. He's not going to pancake guys. He's not going to get vertical movement. He's just a different style player, but that doesn't mean he can't be consistently good. The tape was all right on him. Had a couple negatives. Missed a block. But he played 13 plays. I would argue 10 were positive plays where he got the job done. Not a dominator. And so that's the problem whenever you watch Luke Farrell, number 89 out there. It's like, go get him. Like, be tough. Like, nah, it's just not what he is. It's just not what he is. Jordan Watkins, not bad. He played the most snaps offensively with 53 snaps. He was out there nonstop. Had a 55 run blocking grade. That kind of shows you what it is. That did have the drop touchdown. That was huge. But a lot of positives. Very bad at special teams. That's the thing. Having a back-end wide receiver that can't play special teams is a problem. I know he's getting reps to the returners, but it's so bad. Brock Purdy was as advertised. I love the very first play of the game. He gets out there, can calls it. Yeah, it's first quarter, preseason game. He don't give a damn. We're doing this right. Making quick decisions, mitigated getting hit like that. played 12 plays. I thought Brock was fine. Really, really did. Jake Brindle, man, you got the full Jake Brindle experience in 12 plays. Had three negative plays. One, forgot the snap count. Can't do that as a center. Two, had complete, like, there was a run up the middle. I think it was like second and two. There was a run up the middle, didn't touch anybody. Stops, turns around, watches the guy that he was supposed to block tack. Like, Jake Brindell, sorry, I keep saying it wrong. Jake Brindell, he's in midseason form, baby. had a 59.9 grade. That is 60 grade from PFF is a replaceable starter player. That is the baseline average play in the NFL. He had a 59.9. You're getting what you're paid for. Like, Jake Brindell is exactly what we know, and that's exactly what you're going to be getting this year. It's just, it was funny, Captain. Yeah, Brindell looked to the sideline to see who to block. He did. He even held his hands up like this one time. Like, he just like, I don't know. Like, he's what he is. Did have the very first play of the game, blocked two players in the run game. That was awesome. So you got some positives, three negatives from your starting center out of 12 plays. Not great.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for a special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Let's see here. Debo, yeah, he looked like Debo. Yeah, finished with a 55.5 grade. He was an outlet pass from Brock Purdy, I think, on the second play. Just ran a hitch route, not getting complex routes, not getting separation. Thought he was really, really bad in the punt return game, but that's okay. Mac Jones was awesome. Should have had two damn touchdown passes. I thought Mac Jones played great. Really, really did. Now, probably what I want to spend the most time on is, and again, go watch the film breakdown that we have up through the first quarter. Watching 74 versus 75. Watching Carver Willis at left guard and Connor Colby at right guard. Now, understand, this is an incomplete process. We've gone through the first quarter of tape so far. Connor Colby, way more consistent. Way more negative plays and way more highlights for Carver Willis. Now, the pass pro kind of, I don't want to say upticked. Like, again, the pass pro, Connor Colby had a 41.6 grade, horrible. Carver Willis had a 41.1 grade. Horribler. Overall grade, Carver Willis was the second worst player on the field. He had a 40 grade, only had a higher score than Adrian Martinez, who threw a pick six and another interception and threw the ball out of the end zone on fourth down and goal. Carver Willis was worse. Now, there are highlights, and I'm sure those are going to get put out there on social media, which I love, of Carver Willis where, man, there are three plays in the first quarter where it's like, yes, they're all run plays. That is where he shines. But, man, what are the biggest question marks with Carver Willis? Can he anchor? Can he redirect and pass pro? He did not pass either of those tests in the first quarter versus quality opponents. We'll continue that because he played 42 snaps. Connor Colby played 45. But if we're talking the first quarter, and I'm going to copy and paste my analysis from the first preseason game with these two players, Connor Colby is more consistent. Neither player is good. Neither player is good. Connor Colby is more consistent. Connor Colby should be the starting. If the season started today, I would want Connor Colby to be the guy. Ceiling play, Carver Willis has it. Highlights, Carver Willis has it. More negatives, Carver Willis has it. And there was just this one play where there's a blitz coming, and it's not even really a true blitz. Carver Willis was getting help from Drake Nugent, the center. This was working with the twos after Brindell's already gone. And like he's getting help in Ken Anker. The defensive tackle's pushing him and Drake Nugent into the quarterback, and Carver Willis lands and steps on Mac Jones. Like, meanwhile, one-on-one on the right side, Carver Willis is, man, textbook post-snap. He's got the back arch. He's anchored. Pass rusher doesn't get within 3 yards of the quarterback. You just see it. There's just certain plays. I'm telling you right now, like, Connor Colby is a better player right now. I hope they rotate him. But if you got to pick a starting left guard right now, Connor Colby's the answer. Kyle Shanahan said, you know, nobody's really making that easy. It's going to go down to the wire. Said that there's now an issue with Robert Jones, who's going to be out next week as well. Robert Jones, that's done. There's no way he can make the roster. Not with, if that's the only tape he put up, you just can't. There's no way. And like, nobody is going to pick up Robert Jones. If you look at that tape from the first preseason game, like I said, like, dude might retire. That might be what's happening there. But Connor Colby's over Carver Willis right now. The good news is you don't have to make the decision right now. Can you add somebody? You tried putting Pleasance there. He was even worse. Then he got injured. That experiment's over. But yeah, right now, Connor Colby is the better player. Not good, but better. One has to be better than the other, right? G-Bass, what's up? I hope that one left guard's knee is relatively okay. You're talking about Austin Pleasance there. What's up? We got David Gill, man. Freaking executive producer of the house. What's up, brother? It's preseason, so I'm at the stage where I'm wondering if the Super Bowl parade going to be hosted in San Francisco or San Jose. That game was fun. Like, and I get it. And like, you know, every single thing I post on social media or whatever, and even like the YouTube comments are just like, dude, it's just a preseason game. No. That's not how we operate here. That is not what we do. We celebrate what we can. This is the first football that we've had in so freaking long. And man, who knows the next time we're going to see a lot of these rookies, right? So you take what you can and you be excited about that. Ugh. Yeah, that's right. Let's start making plans for the Super Bowl parade off of a preseason game. Look at this, Mark, my man. What's up, Mark P? Did I actually see a punt return for a touchdown? First time in 15 years. Now, it's not a regular season, so that's not like a full one. But yeah, Jacob Cowing, man. And again, like to pick up a conversation on yesterday's live show, somebody asked, like, man, didn't like a touchdown's a touchdown. Doesn't matter if it's special teams or Jordan Watkins, his touchdown. They're the same. One's an 83-yard touchdown. The other one's a 20-yard touchdown. Big, big difference. But yeah, shout out to Jacob Cowing. I love it. Right here, Hugo, hashtag CC. I still don't know how I feel about the tight end group. Braden Willis played consistently well as a blocker. Luke Farrell looked like Luke Farrell a little bit better. I thought Tonjes made some good plays. He had a 43 grade. He had some negative plays. He played 18 reps. Should have looked at Tonjes on a couple plays. Mac Jones should have. He was open. And so you didn't get to see Jake Tonjes what he's best at, which is being a receiving game weapon. But like, I don't know, even Hayden Rucci, which, you know, I'm just going off the broadcast tape for the second half yet. We haven't done all the breakdowns for those. I don't know. I feel a little bit better about the tight end room. Understand, Captain, I'm with you. The tight end room is below average without Kittle. Yes. But if you tell me you get average to slightly below average till Kittle returns, I think Kittle comes back week 3, I'll take it. I just don't want abysmal, right? The biggest weaknesses on this roster are tight end and safety. If those two could just be average, you sign up for that right now. Slightly below average? All right. Now, well below average, maybe not. But I think that's huge. So, yeah, the tight end room is still right here from OMG. It's the starting left guard on this team. 49ers don't care about guard players. 49ers don't care about safety players. Don't look for them to add. Maybe you can claim somebody that can come in and rotate and compete. But, man, you've got Connor Colby's not horrible. He's not good. Carver Willis might be good eventually. I think he's going to be the starting center. Yeah, that's hard. Big Tone, my man. Appreciate the super chat. His mama named him Brown. I'm going to call him Brown for now. JC, the king of movie references. Duggar is raw, but sick. He's just winging it, but I like it. Dude, Jaden Duggar had some negatives in this game, for sure. Let's jump over to the defense. But, man, started off, you know, gets the tackle for loss right off the bat. And, man, you start looking at his scores. Oh, where's my boy Jaden Duggar at? Is he not on here? There he is. He's right in the middle. Played 32 snaps, had a 65 grade, 77.0 tackle grade. You love seeing the wingspan. You love seeing what he can bring, the anticipation still there. That was huge. Watch it, 53 in the first quarter. It's just like, dude gets it. Dude gets it. The IQ is there. You love that. You love that he reads the under key with the blocks, and he goes right where he's supposed to go, not all the time, most of the time. I love it, man. So thank you, Big Tone. You are the freaking man. Right here, back from OMG, how many defensive tackles do you think we keep? They were talking on the broadcast last night. They did a great job that, you know, you usually keep 10 linemen. No, the 49ers usually keep 11. And then you start looking at the roster, and it's like, man, if you keep 11 defensive linemen, all right, well, the 49ers have kept 6 defensive tackles and 5 DNs. They've kept 5 defensive tackles and 6 DNs. They've kind of flipped it throughout the years. But all right, let's start counting the defensive ends. Nick Bosa, 1. Romello Height, 2. Keon White, 3. Sam 4. Mikael Williams is going to be on the pup. Do you keep Okoronkwo? I don't think so. Quentin Bell played really well, by the way, but I don't think you keep him on the 53. Victor Dimekeji, I don't think you keep him on the 53. Like, there's a chance you only keep 4 defensive ends on your initial 53, which gives you a spot to keep an extra defensive tackle. So let's count the defensive tackles. And remember, we're keeping 4 DNs, plus Mikael Williams coming later. We'll bring back Okoronkwo, Quentin Bell, Victor Dimekeji, or if a defensive end, or trade for one later. But, like, you can keep more than your usual allotment of defensive tackles. Oso Digizua, awesome. Alfred Collins, you're keeping. CJ West, you're keeping. Grayson Houghton, you're keeping. That's 4. Those are your 4 locks. I am not letting go of Bryson Eason or James Thompson Jr. I have them way ahead of Sebastian Valdez, personally. Sebastian Valdez played great. Played 23 snaps, had a 75.5 grade. He was awesome. Well, guess what? Bryson Eason played 26 snaps, had an 80 grade. And James Thompson Jr. played 26 snaps, had a 90.3 grade. Highest graded defender. I like Sebastian Valdez. He's the fan favorite. I like James Thompson and Bryson Eason way more. They are way more consistent. They are way more consistent. Like, you guys remember the Chargers player who got his ACL blown out? Do you know why he got his ACL blown out? Because Sebastian Valdez got picked up, power cleaned, thrown across the room into his knee. Nobody's doing that to Bryson Eason. James Thompson plays too high, but, man, he is going the penetrating forces, right? Like, those guys can be rotational players with upside. So, if you're asking, I'm keeping 6 defensive tackles, period, with this roster. My 6, in no particular order, Oso Digizua, CJ West, Alfred Collins, Grayson Houghton, James Thompson, Bryson Eason. I'm keeping those 6. I'm keeping 6. If I have to, like, if I got the extra spot, Sebastian Valdez would be my 7th. But I'm keeping James Thompson Jr. and I'm keeping Bryson Eason over Sebastian Valdez right now. Now, let's say you only keep 6 and you keep Seabass and James Thompson Jr. Awesome. But, like, I'm not turning those undrafted free agent defensive tackles. You spend so much. The 49ers value that position more than almost anything. I'm keeping them, man. I'm keeping them. Now, let's go through the defensive side. Jack Jones was unbelievable. Jack Jones was unbelievable. Two pass breakups. Played consistently great. Diamantor Lenore played 17 snaps. Was awesome. Probably defensive player of the game. That third and I think five, he runs stride for stride. Stays, you know, in perfect phase with Ladd McConkey. Forces the punt. Demo making the run play. Demo looked great, man. Jair Brown, not bad. Not terrible. Not out of place. He was where he should be for 17 plays. I'll take that. I will take that. Romello Hype played 13 snaps. Not very many. No pressures, but did get the TFL. No pressures through two games now. That's a little problematic. Upton Stout played 8 snaps. That's my problem. I love Jaden Duggar. Upton Stout needs to play more football. He's getting the starter level treatment, rightfully so, especially after Renardo Green got hurt. I don't want Upton Stout on the damn sidelines. The starters played 17 snaps. He got 8. I don't want him getting a 50% snap rate. That is a negative. My biggest critique with this defensive coordinator, who I love, by the way, my biggest critique, dude, 20 needs to be out there. You got to stay in 20 personnel. You got to. It's free. You know what else is free? We got a free bet for you. Who doesn't like free bets?
Want to start football season off with a bet that feels like it can't miss? The MyBookie lock of the season is back, and the first one is an absolute no-brainer. With the Patriots in Seattle for the NFL kickoff, MyBookie is asking one simple question. Will the Seahawks raise the banner that night? Of course they will. They're the defending champs. It's their home opener. The entire game is designed around raising the banner, and they've already talked about doing it that night. So you're getting plus money odds right now on MyBookie.ag. You're getting paid to say yes. That's all you got to do. So that's the first MyBookie lock of the season. There's going to be a lot more all season long, and you should be betting with us. We post our weekly bets over at the49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. We show you how much, what to bet, and where. We've done very well. Major profits 7 out of 8 seasons since we've been doing this. So get in before kickoff of the first NFL game at mybookie.ag with promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS. And on addition to that, you get a bet back bonus from $50 to $500. You opt in whenever you're ready for that. And if you miss the bet, if you don't get it right, you get all the money credited right back to you with a one-time rollover industry best. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. Yes, you can bet in California with MyBookie. Go check it out. MyBookie.
All right, right here, we've got a question from the man himself. He says, you know, is there any safeties out there that, you know, they can make moves before the season? Taylor Rapp just signed. That would have been a good one. Darnell Savage, I think, is still out there. Marcus May still out there. Odom still out there. He ain't going to help you there. Jimmy Ward, I don't think you can bring him back with all the off-the-field stuff going on there. You got to wait in either, I think, the safety position. One, you signed a retired player that wants to come back and play. Somebody cuts a safety, you bring them back. But I think you roll with what you got and address it later. That's kind of the 49ers' entire game plan is, man, let's see what we got. You kind of know what you got with Jair Brown, but he did just put up a solid 17 plays. Marquis Siegel played consistent. He was always where he needed to be. But like, again, like you start looking at Marquis Siegel, he's played 17 snaps right where he needed to be. No major negatives. That's what you want with the safeties. You don't want to notice them too much. But man, yeah, I think you roll with what you got. You're going to get Malik Mustafa back, which brings depth. You've got 3 young rotational players. Ashton Davis might make this roster as a special teams player, and he's just consistent, man. Like, he was the worst rated player in the game, so you do have to kind of give him that. I haven't gone through second half tape yet, but we'll get there. I think you roll with what you got, and if it's glaring, you make a move. You know, week three, week four, you know, some of the rebuilding teams will then have shown themselves, and you can trade for back end of the roster players on expiring contracts. It's the move that those teams make. And I think that's what the Niners are kind of, they're hoping Jair Brown, Marquise Siegel, and, you know, Mustafa, two of those guys show up. That's what they're hoping for. I don't anticipate many moves. Maybe a trade, but dude, they just don't. 49ers don't value safety. And yeah, you trade for Atlanta safety. They might be a team that goes full tank. Their quarterback situation is just a disaster. I'd love to trade for the Pro Bowl safety out of Atlanta. He's a freaking stud. But I don't see that. And what are you going to give up? A fifth-round pick? Maybe? Sixth-round pick? Maybe? They don't even spend fifth-round picks on safeties. They don't. So you're going to trade for a guy on an expiring contract? I just don't see it. Do with that what you will. Now, right here, Tony Martin. Can Nick Martin take Gifford's spot on special teams? No. I loved Nick Martin's tape, by the way. Again, showing anticipation, showing spot zone drops and coverage. So much violence. Awesome on special teams. I love Nick Martin. Luke Gifford, that dude's... he's one of the best in the NFL at doing what they do. Now, usually you keep 5 to 6 linebackers because of special teams, okay? Fred Warner, 1. Dre Greenlaw, 2. Jaden Duggar, 3. Luke Gifford, 4. Now it's hard because you've got Nick Martin, Garrett Wallow, Tatum Bethune. You're not keeping 7. You're not. Dude, this line, like, everybody talking about, like, trades and whatever else, the linebacker room is where I'm like, dude, that is where you should trade somebody. Tony says linebackers, Warner, Greenlaw, Duggar, Martin, Wallow. Dude, Tatum Bethune's awesome. And you got to keep Gifford. He's a Pro Bowl special teamer. You're not cutting him. You got to trade somebody. Trade Tatum Bethune, man. Trade Garrett Wallow, Nick Martin, maybe, like those three, trade Bethune, Wallow, or Nick Martin. I don't want to trade Nick Martin. I don't want to. I want to keep him, but you can't keep 7. You can't. It's the strength of the team. I haven't even talked about Larry Worth III, who's been great. Jalen Graham, he's been on the practice squad forever. Gosh, how do you keep 7 backers with this roster? And that's the biggest difference. The biggest difference in the 49ers 2025 versus 2026 is just the depth at certain positions. This linebacker room is stacked. Garrett Wallow, Tatum Bethune, they were starters. Luke Gifford were starters. Now we're talking about trading and cutting those guys. Ugh, that is frustrating. That is, you start talking about like the wide receivers that you're going to keep or not keep. And it's like, dude, I'm not keeping Jordan Watkins over Luke Gifford, like, ever. Like, you don't do that. I'm not keeping Jordan Watkins over Nick Martin. I'm not doing that. Or Tatum Bethune. I don't know how they navigate. Oh, that's got to be the hardest time ever in that 53-man room. And just try to go through and say, yeah, we're cutting this. We're not cutting that. Man, we're 9 days away, and we're 8 days away from our Zoom hangout where we do this every single year, where we get together and we talk and we come up with our 53-man roster a day before the actual cutdown. So join us Saturday, August 29th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. We're having a Zoom hangout. Go sign up to 49ersrush.com. Get your, like, man, we have a 7-day free trial. Come join us. It's an absolute blast. We need to hear from you. It's going to be fun. Thank you, Tony. Man, it's going to be a blast. The 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. Check it out. And, man, we're going to do the best we can to try to predict it with the brain trust. It's always fun. But, yeah, you're not getting rid of Gifford. Right here, Bobby War. Hodges at wide receiver 5 or 6. I like his game. He does some things that the Niners don't have that true possession underneath guy. Hodge does that. Like, he does the tough, dirty yards, all that stuff. And, yeah, I think he's moved up past guys like Pauline, Wesley Grimes, Trenton Irwin. I just don't see him making this roster, but he has looked good. He has looked good. I do agree with that. Awesome point there, Bobby. Big Tone back at it again. Thank you so much for the super chat, man, and the support. Martin is good when there's an open lane. He looks allergic to TFLs, thinking we're overcrediting Martin. Where's the second year, next step, get off the blocks? I think he's looked way more consistent. I remember him giving up like a 60-yard run in the preseason last year just because he went to the wrong way. He's taken a huge step. Special teams have been awesome. Pass drops pretty damn good. You look at, he played 33 snaps. Yeah, he had a 42 grade tackling. That's an issue. But, dude, the upside is there. You see it. You see it. But it's not there all the time. It's not there all the time. My favorite thing about Nick Martin is the negatives haven't been, the missed assignments haven't been. Now, getting in there and missing a tackle but tripping up the running back, like, I don't count that as a negative too much if you're in the backfield. Yeah, you want to finish the play, but I think that he has taken a solid step up. Is he a lock to start? No. But, you know, in today's NFL, Cal Chipto, what's up, man? The legend. Martin is too small to get TFLs. I disagree with that. He's just, he plays explosive, and he shoots up. He's a rhino. Got to kind of curtail that just a little bit. But man, dude, the violence that Nick Martin hits with, it just, it's different. That linebacker room is freaking stout. I don't know how you make these decisions. I'm calling the, if I'm an opposing team, I'm calling the 49ers and the linebackers. Hey, it, like, dude, yeah, you got to figure that out. You got to figure that. My favorite trade, maybe in the Kyle Shanahan era, and there are some good ones you could talk about. You know, getting Lakin Tomlinson, a Pro Bowl guard, for pennies on the dollar. Obviously, Trent Williams, a Hall of Famer, for a third and a fifth rounder. Maybe one of my favorite, trading away that horrible contract you gave Quan Alexander to the Saints. That was huge. My favorite trade that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have pulled is pairing, I think it was a sixth round pick, and Dakota Watson. You guys remember Dakota Watson? You packaged a sixth rounder and Dakota Watson. You sent it to the Broncos for a fifth rounder. I love those type moves. You know what that fifth rounder became? Became Dre Greenlaw. Like, package some of these guys. Hey, we're gonna give you Tatum Bethune and a sixth rounder for a fifth next year. All right. Like, we gotta make some room. I don't want to trade Tatum Bethune because I like the veteran depth, but somebody gotta go. You're not trading Jaden Duggar, you're not trading Warner, you're not trading Greenlaw, you're not trading Luke Gifford, Pro Bowl special team. You're not doing that. So you're talking Nick Martin, Garrett Wallow, Tatum Bethune. Can Garrett Wallow draw, like, the highest values, Nick Martin? The most pro-ready, Tatum Bethune. The most versatile, Garrett Wallow, right? You can find somebody that wants one of those players. Ah! Man, you can find somebody. Dang, man. I like this, OMG. I need Duggar to move into Fred's house. Just break it down, film. How do you eat? How do you, like, go through everything, figure it out? Oh. Yeah, right there. Would you, if you could only have one of Martin or Bethune? Martin has the higher ceiling by far. I mean, one's a third-round pick. One was, I think, a sixth-rounder. Maybe a seventh-rounder, Tatum Bethune. Yeah, Martin has the higher ceiling. Who's the better player right now? Tatum Bethune. Who's the better special teamer? Nick Martin. Who has the higher upside? Nick Martin. Yeah, for me, Nick Martin does. If I can only have one, I'm keeping Nick Martin. And I love that he's getting all these reps. Now, he just hurt his hamstring, right? Like, you're going to have to see how bad that is. But he's gotten a lot of snaps. You know, somebody that hasn't played a lot of football, he played 33 snaps and his hamstring went. So how serious is that? That's going to factor into the equation. Dude, you just put him on NFI. Or not NFI, but IR for the rest of the year, and just say, you know what, we're going to sandbag and just, dude, your season's over. Sorry you got hurt. Season's over, Nick Martin. We're just going to roll you into next year. And when Drake Greenlaw walks out the door because he plays so well and has a Pro Bowl year and gets paid to go elsewhere again, Nick Martin, Jaden Duggar, you guys are fighting for those will snaps. Maybe. Maybe. Right here, Sonia, do you think the defensive line was good? Or was the Chargers' offensive line just terrible with the lack of run yards for the Chargers? 49ers controlled the line of scrimmage on that side. Samo was awesome. The undrafted defensive tackles was awesome. Osa was awesome. Quentin Bell was awesome. And a lot of that has to do with your defensive coordinator. Setting up and putting your players in a position of advantage with the slants, the overload blitzes, the 4-3 under over, the five-man fronts, all those things, like, you're putting them in a spot. Yeah, the Chargers offensive line's not great, and they had some rookies out there playing, but Niners dominated. The Niners D-line dominated that game. Got to give them credit to the DC and the D-line. They played great. They controlled the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, not a lot of pressures. You had 9 total pressures. One quarterback hit, 2 sacks, but, like, controlled the line of scrimmage. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. You look at just their rushing numbers, 68 rush yards on 20 attempts. They averaged 3.4 yards per carry. That's what you want. That's what you want. Yeah, right here. Got to keep Wallow. He has natural instinct, special teams, plays all 3 linebacker spots. The hero defensively of that playoff win against on the road. Dude, he just looks it, man. He looks it. He does. What's up, Cow Pop? What's up? Thank you for the super chat. Listening from my mail truck in Hawaii. Thanks for all you do, John. Hope I can get to a rush party one day. Have a blessed day, aloha. Dude, thank you, Kai. Making sure everybody gets their mail. Freaking being a man of the community. Helping people. Serving. I love it. I love it. Cliff from Cheers would be proud. You're the freaking man. Dude, Kai, thank you. Thank you, my friend. I love it. I love it. Oh, look at this. Agency in the house. Stoked to finally get to a rush road trip this year in Atlanta. Bringing 3 of 4 daughters, all whom love the Niners. Dude, that is awesome, Agency. I cannot wait to freaking share a beverage with you, have some fun, make some memories. And, man, if you were going to, we're doing so many Niners games, including the home game against the Chargers, that Thursday night game. We're going to have a tailgate out there. The home game is the Dolphins season opener. But any away game, man, come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Oh, look at this. Weber, he says, I'm in my mail truck in Indiana. How cool is that, man? Shout out freaking postal workers, freaking working their rear ends off. Love it, man. What's up, Snoop? Appreciate you, man. Right here, Filthy Casual. He says, isn't Gifford a liability at linebacker? Special teams looks fine without him. No, you do not cut. Dude, y'all don't remember? Kyle Shanahan's been here for 9 seasons. He completed 9 seasons, 8 of them. Shitty special teams. You finally got quality special teams year, and now we're talking about cutting a Pro Bowl special teams player? No. Gifford is safe. They cut Gifford. John Chapman's going to riot. It's going to get bad. No. You are not cutting Gifford. He is safe. He is safe. What's up, Rick? Appreciate you coming in from Chicago. Look at this, Snoop. Delivery van in Arizona. You guys are freaking awesome. Man, appreciate all y'all do. We get all our stuff because of you, man. Y'all make our lives better. Thank you. Serving people. Big Tone, the man. He says, should have resigned Khalil Dinkins. They had him in for a workout. Was kind of interested that they didn't bring him back maybe didn't look as good as you had hoped, or maybe you're thinking, like you told them, like, hey, we want to see where you're at. We want to bring you back to the practice squad as soon as, but this way we're just, you know, we're going to let the guys play. Hayden Rucci's played well enough. He's earned some reps. Khalil Dinkins will be back at some point. I do believe that, but I was a little shocked they didn't sign him either, to be honest with you. I really was. You know, as far as negatives go, not a lot jumped out defensively in the first quarter. Oh, what's up, Russ? Rusty, the man's in the house. What's up, buddy? Tony, Mel Carrier, and 209. Dude, you guys, I never knew that there was so much of you guys watching the show and listening to the show. Thank you, guys. Look at that. Freaking Pernmore. Dude, this is awesome. And Pert says, John, I like Mac Jones better than Purdy. That's okay. That's not a bad thing. The backup quarterback's usually one of the most popular players on the team and should be. Is Brock Purdy, giant gap, Mac Jones. But Mac Jones is awesome. Like, and he played awesome. When Mac Jones doesn't play with Christian McCaffrey, he pushes the ball downfield. When Mac Jones plays with Christian McCaffrey, that's his first, second, third read. And I understand it. Farscape. It's like a Kevin Costner movie up in here. Oh, Postman reference. You guys are the best. But overall, first quarter review, tape review, go check it out for yourself. The49ersRush.com. But man, positives. And that's what you want to see from one to two series from your starters. Overall, pretty damn good. And so just more and more excitement, more things building. Love that, man. Agency. I thought Mac 10 was going to go postal after a couple of those drop touchdowns last night. Dude, he was pissed. I've never seen Mac Jones that hot with the 49ers. He was pissed. And poor blocking up front, too. Carver Willis and Enrique Cruz, like Austin Pleasance getting him hit. Yeah, hey, he was pissed, man. Oh, he was pissed. You guys are awesome. It's been fun. I'm going to get more now tomorrow. I get to do a lot more tape. So we'll get at least two more quarters done tomorrow, maybe finish the entirety of the game. I'm planning to just sit down and just grind out some tape. I got to do my taxes later this week. Oh, bummer. Not excited about that one. So I'll get all the film done before I jump to that. But stay tuned. That's where that is. You guys are incredible. Film review versus the Chargers. Man, so optimistic. So many positives. Way more positives than negatives. Excited about this team. And then just the excitement just keeps growing. Hopefully it doesn't stop anytime soon. That's going to do it for us here today. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.